It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's roving reporter. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Okay. Well, eyes were focused on Cornwall this week in a nice way. The town was recognized because it was the highest, had the highest voter turnout of not only its category of small towns, but overall, with a 90.46% turnout. And so there was a reception on Thursday, and Secretary of State Stephanie Thomas came to present this huge cup that goes to the highest vote getters. It's passed around each. This one is for every 2 years, the highest vote getters, and then there's the one that goes for every 4 years. No, this one was 4 years for the presidential, and then there's smaller ones that go for the state and federal.
Yes, state and municipal as well.
Yeah, well, those are, yep.
Yeah, odd year.
Odd and even, correct. So there was a nice turnout. Representative Horn was there, State Senator Stephen Harding was there, and Stephanie Thomas talked about the tradition. It was started by then Secretary of State Susan Bicewich, who thought there should towns should be recognized, and a philanthropical person came along and paid for the cup, and then it, for this particular one, and then they expanded it, and now it's the small cup and the big cup. Thomas laughed. She said, "We didn't get donations for the small cup for the odd number of years, so they're getting smaller cups." But it was a very nice ceremony, and asked why they thought, you know, there's such a good turnout in this small towns, basically, and it's everybody said, well, you know, there's volunteerism involved. People are very engaged, and so that cup will sit in the selectman's office, said Gordon Ridgway.
For how long?
4 years.
And is, okay, so and where was it before? Who had it before?
Where did they say it came from? I don't remember, but
okay.
The other towns.
Oh, so there's only one cup.
Well, there are four categories.
Okay.
So this one was, as I say, for small towns. Then there's the one for mid-sized towns, and that's cities. Small towns are between a population of up to 10,000. And we have the small towns, which are East Hampton, one for mid-sized towns, Fairfield for large town, and Stamford for cities. So there are four categories. And Thomas quipped, she said, "I live in Norwalk, and we've never been able to beat Stamford. Stamford always beats them as far as percentages go." But now East Hampton only got 89%. Fairfield 84 and Stamford 73. So you can see how Cornwall, with its 90% overall, was pretty impressive.
Yeah, but being up into the 70s and 80s is impressive as you look at the country as a whole.
Well, that's true, because so we know the lack of voting.
Well, way back when, remember in 2016, I was thinking about this, where, you know, the New York Times pulsometer, the whatever it was, you know, had Mrs. Clinton at 98%, and nobody could figure out how they were at 98%, and we all know what happened. So, you know, percentages are great, but they also don't necessarily take in the whole.
Well, yeah, when you're doing stats on anything, everything is dependent on real size. When you use percentages, typically, now not all the time, is when you really don't want people to see the real numbers.
Is that true?
Think if you're in a room of 10 people and you say 70% of the people in this room
are sick,
and then you go another room that's got 40 people in it,
right,
and the same number of people, or the same percentage of people over there, says the same thing.
Right.
But the number is completely different when proportionally you look at it.
Yeah, that's often so, the case you when you talk budgets.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. And well, when they talk, they always use the term, after they've created the proposal, that we've cut the budget, when in fact they've only cut the proposal, not the original budget. Mm. Often that's the case.
Yeah, you know, I was very bad at ratio and proportion. I should have paid more attention.
See, I was a mathematics person.
I understand.
Numbers.
The last time the town got number one was back in 2014, 10 years ago. So,
was it Cornwall?
Bad. Yep.
Yeah. Okay,
so Paul's Village got it either last year or the year before for, it must have been last year, because they got the small cup. So we're pretty, we're pretty proud up here in the northwest corner.
In these towns, you could pick up everyone in a minivan and bring them to vote, but no, just kidding.
Well, hey, a win is a win.
Well,
cup is a cup.
Population, we can tell you, the population was 1575 in Cornwall, and 1,000-something voted, so there's numbers.
Wow, there's numbers, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, coming back to Canaan, the Riverwood subdivision was approved. That's the one with it's now 20 lots off Honey Hill Road, right on the shores of the Housatonic River. As you remember, this was a controversial one in which Tim Abbott, the then chairman of Planning and Zoning, stepped down because of this application and feeling, there was some banter back and forth between the applicants and Mr. Abbott, and he felt his integrity was questioned. But he did get up at the meeting last Monday, and he said, he works for Housatonic Valley Association, who became an intervener for this project. He said, and they met, and they came up with a set of conditions, and he said, we will abide by them. Well, of course, the commission put them into the approval set of conditions. So Abbott said, clearly I have conservation issue, and that's why he felt he just couldn't sit on and vote on this.
And then does it go separately? Excuse my ignorance in this.
What do you mean?
Does conservation now come into it, or is it?
Well, they have put. They met with the applicant, who is Bruce McEver, and his engineer George Johannesson, and put the conditions in. And so, I mean, I'm sure they would rather see nothing, but since it's going to be something, at least they have some sort of guardrails.
Yeah. When zoning board gives approval, it's usually contingent to multiple other things.
Especially on a special permit.
Yeah, on a special permit more so. But, right. Essentially you can't do the whole thing until you've satisfied every one of those requirements, which may include historic commission, which may include,
It's
the neighbors on block two.
Plant species. And artifacts of
bog turtles.
Yeah, you got to go out and look for Indian arrowheads.
Indian artifacts,
right.
And what about bog turtles?
Well,
I don't think they didn't talk about bog turtles on this property.
Okay.
Abbott saying, clearly I had conservation issues that would have made this hard for me to sit and vote on it as chairman. I couldn't have had that influence what I was doing. Recusal was out, but he's talked about he recused himself during the whole sessions until he finally left. So Johannesson was at the meeting, was asked when the construction will start, and he said they're not sure at this point. But I would imagine when warm weather comes, things will start moving. Again, there was a lot of issues about the widening of Highland Lane, which is right adjacent to this property. And so there were, again, conditions were met, and it's coming. So. And that was a big one and big talk in Canaan.
So I guess, sorry to be a little, just a little. So, is everything now in train for this to begin, or do more things have to happen?
No, it's ready to go. Okay. Once you get planning and zoning approval, you're good to go.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what the applicant's got to do first, but as far as permits go, and they did get. Johannesson said they have inland wetlands approval. So,
yes,
I mean, this is right near the river. So.
I understand. That's why I did. Actually, this is one of those rare instances where I happen to know physically where it is. So it's like, okay, I just hit.
Yeah, it's going west out of town.
Yeah.
All right.
There was a complaint lodged to the State Elections Enforcement Commission in Canaan. Mary Beth Markey filed the complaint because of a legal announcement that was put into the, she FOI'd the finances of the town and saw that the town paid for a legal notice for the Republican Town Committee, for its caucus. There was an investigation by SEEK, and it was determined that the newspaper had mistakenly double-billed the town and the town committee at this for $36.16, and that it was paid mistakenly by the town. And once it was determined that both the town committee paid for its for the legal notice, and the town was reimbursed.
This is North Canaan.
North Canaan.
Okay.
Yep. So determination, SEEK found that there was credible and reasonable explanations, and they dismissed the action. But these things happen.
Kind of interesting that flew by the town itself.
Yeah, well, the treasurer did say it was an honest mistake on her part. So, okay. Saturday night, in the midst of a snowstorm, Falls Village Library D.M. Hunt held its midwinter's night in the village, I did not go, but apparently it was a very big success. There's a new group that sings at this every year, and they do poetry, and they have a 6-foot-long table filled with savory and sweet or
all kinds of goodies, lots and lots of goodies.
The board is brought out once a year for this event.
Once a year.
Once a year they do this to get the doldrums.
Like Rick is doing, except once a year.
What's that?
Never mind.
It's their big annual fundraiser.
That's what I mean,
for them.
Rick is doing it every 100 years.
No, they do it every year. The fundraiser.
Every year.
And they do two fundraisers, one in the fall, in the summer, fall, and one in winter. This is to get the, get you out in the doldrums and the deep, dark winter. And they always get a great crowd. I don't know how big. I would assume the crowd was pretty good, but I don't travel in snow weather, so I did not make it. But
as a matter of fact, I joined in that as far as trying to get home before it started. Mike was as usual. Mike is on. Mike is our secret weather weapon.
Well, Saturday afternoon was just not a time to be out on the roads.
No.
By about 3 o'clock or so, I think, when it really started getting weird.
Thanks, Mike.
I have not left the house all weekend.
Probably a good thing.
I'm not a good person for doing this sort of thing. So out in this weather, so I stayed home. Salisbury Association Historical Society now has a lovely exhibit on samplers, historic samplers. These are part of the collection by Alexandra Peters. She apparently has 150 in her collection. And these were made back in the day when young girls would they would do this needlework making statements, which...
they were usually biblical, they were teaching the skills of sewing, and, it was householding. And so you sewed a sample. That was school. You sewed samplers.
Yeah, and with messages on them, and as it says, they gave the young girls perspective on life. And this was, you know, before the Industrial Revolution. We're talking the 1800s, early 1900s. So this exhibit is now up, and Ms. Peters will be giving a talk about her collection on February 22nd at Scoville Library. I think it's 2 p.m. So that should be quite interesting, and that exhibit now is at the Academy Building for those who want to view it. And the Academy Building is open every day, I think, until 1 o'clock. And then Sharon's Hotchkiss Library is going to hold a film series. It's going to be about, it's called Connecticut Classics, a film series featuring movies about films in or set in Connecticut. The first one is Friday the 21st at 6 p.m., and it's Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, which is a real classic and a real favorite, starring Cary Grant, Myrna Loy, and Melvin Douglas. Interestingly enough, Melvin Douglas's granddaughter is a movie star, and she's written a book about all these Connecticut houses that are used in Connecticut scenes used in movies, and she's been a speaker at several venues around the northwest corner.
Should be interesting. I know. Didn't they use one down in Lime Rock? They used that belonged to Martha. I'm not going to think of her last name. The Big Victorian. Yeah, they used that in some kind of a horror movie for a couple of shots.
Yeah, we've had
Martha Miller.
Thank you.
We've had them here, but so Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House was filmed at a house in New Milford, and which still stands. So this Friday evening will be you come and see the movie and eat pizza. And so this is the first of many.
All right.
And there are many films. Connecticut was very popular for backgrounds, even though they weren't filmed in Connecticut. Most of them were filmed on a set in Hollywood, but they used the idea of...
They've always done exterior shots.
Forget a
Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, or...
There's just all those.
Connecticut features prominently.
As a background.
Mike, how are we for time?
We are just about on the end of time. I'm going to throw in a quickie. Don't forget, this coming weekend, 22nd, 23rd, will be the Norfolk Winter Weekend in Norfolk. That's one of two they have each year, the other one being in the fall.
Summer.
And there's late summer. Okay, late summer, early fall.
But
they have all kinds of events, from ice skating to, you know, talks and programs of all kinds, pickleball tournaments. So,
And I don't know which came first, the winter weekend or the summer. But
yeah, I'm not sure.
It was a wonderful turnout, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, do they do curling as well?
Yeah. No, I don't know if they had curling on the thing this year or not. I didn't see it there, but you can also get the schedules are available. It's weekendinnorfolk.org, and they give you the whole extensive schedule there. Another quick note, too, we didn't interview and talked about this. When you're coming in from the west into Norfolk, Route 44 is in a major construction project, so you'll have a little bit of a delay there. The project is so major that they have permanent lights put up there, and they're not people. There's lights.
Wow.
And one you can go through or not, because it's just a one-lane section. But
is this where they're digging out the...
Yeah, this is where they're shoring up all those banks where all of my lifetime, they've always been sitting there looking at me going, I'm going to fall over any time now. So finally, it's all going to go away.
Well,
so.
Good to know.
Anyway,
good to know.
That was my shot, and so then I'll throw it to whoever, and we need to wind it up.
Yeah, well, even in this weather, there are things to be done if you want to get out there, if you're brave and don't mind the cold and the wind.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you very much. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein on Robin Hood Radio.